Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to see all of you here today on this cool morning. It's come way too early, but as somebody just said, then maybe spring's going to come faster in the spring, which I don't know if we can count on that or not. I want to welcome you to Calvary today, and if you are a first-time worshiper with us today, we are especially happy to have you here. We are glad that people are coming. We are glad that people continue to come to hear the good news of Jesus, and so we welcome each and every one to our worship this morning. We are completing a series that we have been doing called The Almost Christian Things That We Say, and we're finishing that up today by my focus will be focusing on that message, and it's been a good time. Now, next week, which is hard to believe, but is Advent. So next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. And the focus is going to be on God with us. And as many of us know, the word Emmanuel really means God with us. And so we're going to talk about how God is with us in different things that we go through in life, in different stages and different activities and whatever. God is with us. So that starts next Sunday. And we have a lot of great services and things with music and everything as we lead up, of course, till Christmas, which is only a few weeks away. So it's an exciting time as we enter into that. A few things to lift up for you today. The last of the November building forums is going to be today, and they've had a great turnout at a lot of these meetings, and there's one more today at 9:30 in the Savea Lounge. Come and hear about these possible additions to the church, hear from the different people, the team, and come and ask the questions that you need to ask. And so you're invited to do that. This afternoon, Sharon Bridges and Cindy Wagner, raise your hands, and they're there. They traveled this last year to Kenya, and were a part of a program at the Daylight School. And I was at that first meeting as they talked about we're going to go to this and some pictures and whatever else. Well, now they've been to Kenya, and they have seen the Daylight School, and they're going to report back this afternoon at 4 o'clock here and again in the Savea Lounge. And they'll be sharing some pictures, I would imagine, and some observations and what they learned. So we want to encourage people to come. The great thing, I told Sharon, the Vikings are playing at 7:20 tonight. And I'm not sure when the Packers are playing, but 4 o'clock should work well, right? 4 o'clock to come and do that, and then you can go back and watch the Vikings. So come and hear about this Daylight School. This is Thanksgiving week, and we do pray God's blessings upon each and every one. I know I've talked to a few people today that are traveling or moving here or there, getting together with family, and that's always exciting. But if you're here in the community, Wednesday night is the traditional, there's several Lutheran churches, ELCA Lutheran churches, and St. Mary's, the Catholic Church, that we have a big community service on Wednesday night at 6:30. There's going to be a community choir, some different pastors. I'm a part of it and whatever. We'll be a part of it, Father Steve. And it's a wonderful service. I was a part of it last year and a huge turnout, and there's some reception afterward. So if you're around this Wednesday, we encourage you to come to the Thanksgiving Eve community service. It's a wonderful service to share together. Finally, if you are new here today, we'd encourage you to fill out the little envelope. Don't put any money in it. We don't need any money, but we'd like to have you fill out of this form and put it in the offering plate because we'd like to connect with you. And one of the goals and missions of Calvary is to get people connected. And so if you are new here today or you'd like to get connected, fill that out and put it in the offering plate and someone will contact you, and we'd like to find ways that you can connect in to the mission and ministry that we share here at Calvary. Well, I think that's all the announcements that we have today. We are going to stand and begin with our opening hymn.
Greet your neighbor.
Greet your neighbor.
Resurrection.
begin our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and all consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from sin, from our sin, to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now we confess our sins together. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Hear the promise of forgiveness. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God.
Celebration of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast the Lamb was slain, whose blood has freed and united us to be one great people of God. Celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore.
Power and riches, wisdom and might, and honor and glory to Christ forever.
All of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore.
For God has come to dwell with us, to make us people of God, to make all things new. All of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore.
Let us join in praying together the prayer of the day. Gracious God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our hopes, fears, dreams, and desires. Now, God, help us to know you. Give us words to describe you that reflect your love for us and for all people. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in reading Psalm 123 responsively. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their masters.
As the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy.
Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt.
Kids.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
How are you today?
The Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? Are you good? What's happening this week on Thursday? Do you know?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. What do you like to eat at Thanksgiving? Anything good?
Turkey.
Turkey? You like turkey?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a fun day, isn't it? It's fun to celebrate. You know, today, if I thought, I'm going to go over and I'm going to lift that piano all by myself, do you think I could do it?
No.
How about, this piano is maybe a little smaller. Maybe I could try to lift that by myself. Do you think I could? So how many people do you think I might need, if I were going to go over and lift that, how many people do you think I'd need to help me lift that?
3, maybe.
3? Maybe 3 people?
No, like 100.
Like 100. Oh, maybe 100. Well, you know, the reality is that there's a lot of things here, and if I try to do it all myself, it wouldn't work, right? No. And that's why I would need to ask some other people to help me. And today we're going to talk about, you know, there's a lot of things. People are struggling with a lot of things today. And some people have some hurts in their heart. And some people have things they're dealing with in their families or things that are hard for people. And there's a lot of people today that think, I can lift and carry it all by myself. Does that work? No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work even in life. That I try to carry my things in my life all by myself. That's why we need other people. And when we're other people, then we can become strong, right? When I say I can't do it all myself, then I can become strong because I can get other people to help me, right? And that's what we talk about in our faith together in Jesus and as a church, is that we need others every day to help us, because to lift and do the things of life by myself is impossible, right? Just like trying to lift a piano all by myself. So we're going to talk about that today, and I have a sucker for you, and I hope all of you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, okay? Thank you for coming up today.
Alle, alle, alleluia, alle, alle, alleluia, alle, alle, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
There's an old phrase that comes out of America's World Wars, which states this phrase, there are no atheists in foxholes. The message was that in the midst of the battle, when the enemy, when the threat of injury and death are all around, lots of soldiers cried out to God. Fear often motivated even unbelievers to pray, to fall on their knees in hope of being saved. Well, truth is that there's a lot of people today who feel as if they are in a foxhole in life, a foxhole of uncertainty, a foxhole of tragedy that is all around them each day. And being people who often pride themselves in keeping their life pretty much in control, many people are facing today challenges and threats that they can often do very little about. One example is the recent shootings in the synagogue in Pittsburgh. Just think of the grief that these people and families are going through. And then just a week later, a shooting in an establishment, again in California, where a number of lives were lost. And then think of the fires we see on the news every night, the devastating fires and what they are doing to people. And another example is the unbelievable devastation that were caused by Hurricanes Florence and Michael, the total annihilation of some cities in the Florida panhandle. All of that is just amazing. It is just awful. And then, of course, there are the personal assaults, those personal assaults that people here, many of you, might be dealing with, the assaults of cancer, the assaults of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or other illnesses that people are dealing with today. Things that oftentimes come totally out of the blue. We have no idea that they're going to happen. We go to the doctor, and all of a sudden we find out that one of these things has invaded our lives, something that many individuals are dealing with today. And then add to that the rising numbers of people who are struggling with mental illness, with anxiety, with depression, with anger and with rage, with eating disorders, and other challenges in their lives. Yes, it feels like countless numbers of people, perhaps you even here today, feel as if you are in a foxhole with bombs, ambushes, attacks that are happening all around. And the result is that there are many, many people today who are feeling afraid. They are panicked, panicked of what exactly may lie around the corner for their existence. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to our lives? I'm worried about tomorrow. Well, as people all struggle with these kinds of things, there's a little phrase that well-meaning Christians seem to like to share. In fact, some think that this little phrase comes from the Bible itself, or that it proclaims some Christian truth, or it proclaims some Christian promise. And that little phrase is, God won't give you any more than you can handle. Yet the problem with this phrase is that there is nowhere in the Bible that this appears. There is absolutely nowhere in the Bible that this idea is even taught or even alluded to. Rather, this phrase is a cliche. It is a simple cliche. Some well-intentioned words that Christians often say when we don't know what to say. And Pastor Hans talked about this the last couple weeks, that sometimes we say things just because we don't know what to say. And some people actually think that this phrase might maybe encourage somebody, or it might even bring some kind of a comfort to someone who is afflicted. Yet I believe that this phrase, as I've seen it used over the years, oftentimes can easily do just the opposite. And I've known people who have been turned off by Jesus, turned off by the church, because why would God give me something like this? Or I feel my life is so surrounded by these problems. Why would somebody say something like that to me? For when you are in that foxhole, when you are in that foxhole, when you are suffering in your life, you may feel as if your life is too much to handle. And you may wonder very much every day whether you're ever able to go on. Now, did you know that in the New Testament, in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, he had a major challenge with his health, and he had a major challenge with his life? That's true, he did. In fact, he often talked about what he said was, quote, his thorn in the flesh. And some scholars believe that Paul's affliction was that he had a terrible eye disease that affected many people in that region, in that time in history. His eyes would cloud up, there would be oozing pus that would come out and whatever else so that he could hardly see. And then that kind of stuff that would just kind of cake around his eyes, that often talked about how it kind of would fall off almost like scales, that it was so bad. A chronic eye disease is something that plagues you day and night. Well, Paul said that he prayed. It says in the Bible that he prayed three times very intensely. Now, numbers in the Bible, we have to realize there are some complete numbers like 3 and 7 and some of these. Doesn't mean that, oh, I'm going to have one prayer and then I did that one and now I prayed this one and then I prayed this one and now I've done 3 and I'm all done. It means he prayed as much as he had to. He prayed as often as he needed to. And he prayed intensely that God would take this ailment away. In fact, it sounds as if he cried out oftentimes in desperation, wondering if he could even go on. It often felt to the Apostle Paul like this was simply way more than he could handle. A chronic eye disease is something that can plague you day and night. Finally, however, Paul had this revelation from God. And he said these words that we will see up on the screen, if you'd help me with the parts that are in the yellow. But he had this revelation from God where God said to him, but he said to me, my what? Grace is sufficient for you. For my power is what? Made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly what? About my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For what? For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Apostle Paul realized this very, very important truth. This very important truth that in his time of weakness and time of pain, the truth that when he surrendered and relied completely on God's love, when he relied on others, and when he relied on the community of believers around him, it was only then that he was truly strong. And that lifts up, of course, how important the church and believing friends are to someone when they feel as if they cannot go on. It's why we need that community of people around us. For when a person is struggling, when they are tired and exhausted in the worry and fear that they may feel, an individual does not have the faith and the strength to face their challenges alone. It's one of the reasons why it's so bad how sometimes we say to people, well, just have enough faith. But when I'm in the struggle, I don't have enough faith. Well, just pray about it. Well, I can't even pray because I'm feeling so overwhelmed with my issues. There are many people who say, I don't have that strength. How can somebody simply tell me those easy cliches? The reality is that we need to realize that the phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle, can be very hurtful, and it also is extremely meaningless to another individual. It implies to somebody, well, your problems are not too great, even though you're not the one that is going through what they are going through. It implies all you need to do is have faith. And yet, that's an easy thing to say to somebody. Or sometimes it says, well, just look around. Your problems aren't too bad. There's somebody else that has bigger problems than you do. And yet, when you're in the middle of that struggle, my problems, no matter how big or small they are, look bigger than anybody else in the world. If you really care for another person, I know each one of you here today does care for other people. If you want to help give somebody else strength, go to them and leave the cliches behind. It is better to simply be there, to hold somebody's hand. It is better to not say anything at all if you don't have any words to say than to simply utter empty phrases. Be present with that person. Pray with them and for them. Each one of you can use words. You can pray with them and they can hear your words. Acknowledge that they must be going through a hard time in their life. Acknowledge that you can't even imagine how they can even handle all of those issues, that you are there to just are amazed at what's going on with them and that you want to be there for them in whatever they are feeling. Accept them. Love them. Show your faith in Jesus through your words and through your actions. Have them help them to see Jesus in you and how Jesus is with them as they struggle with their issues. Only then will they feel the strength. Strength that they are not alone. Strength where they feel that Jesus is in the lives of their believing friends. Strength that others are praying with them and for them when they can hardly do it themselves. What the Apostle Paul teaches is that there's absolutely nothing wrong with being weak. And I want to say this especially to you men who are here today. There is absolutely nothing wrong with being weak. Even though many people idolize the strong and the strong man and whatever else, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being weak. There is nothing wrong with feeling helpless. For then, with the help of others, we too can know God's grace, that God's grace and love are sufficient for us, that in Christ we have the strength to face whatever may come. And that is what the church is meant to be, the church in all its glory. Now, it's important to note, I believe, how the Bible and individuals in the Bible, oftentimes many of these individuals in the Bible often feel as if they are at the end of their rope. In fact, I would surmise, and I've often said this through the years, I believe that the Bible is the most honest book that has ever been written. Because it doesn't gloss over these issues. It talks about people and their struggles. It talks about people and their pain. It talks about people who are ready to give up. It talks about people and their failures. If you were writing a novel or telling about your family, you could gloss over about Uncle Harry, or you could talk about how it's really not all that bad. The Bible never glosses over anything. It tells it just like it is. And the Bible never gives simple cliches to life, like God won't give you more than you can handle. For example, the 23rd Psalm says, and we see it up here, even though what? I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For what? You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Truth is that there are a lot of valleys in life. Every one of us goes through different kinds of valleys, valleys of fear and valleys of despair. Yet there is strength when people are there to surround us, when we know that we are not alone, and when we know that God truly is with us. Another example is Psalm 38, verse 4 and 8, where the psalm writer says these words, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to carry. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart." Do you ever feel overwhelmed? I do, many times. Do you feel sometimes you have a burden that is way too heavy to carry? Do you know somebody else today? I think we all do. A coworker, a friend, a family member. Do you know somebody today who's feeling totally exhausted in life? Somebody that's feeling crushed under something that they are going through? Be assured that the last thing that person needs are easy answers or simple Christian cliches. What they need is the strength and the love of being connected, of having others to hold them up in God's love, and others who are saying, "I will walk with you through these issues." Then there's Jonah, chapter 2, verses 2 and 7, where Jonah said these words, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you." Be assured that whatever you're going through in life, that God hears you when you cry out to him. And then there's Jesus himself. The night before his crucifixion, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed these words, Jesus said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." I think it's good to know that even Jesus, God's very own Son, had times when he felt abandoned and times when he felt alone. Of course, he cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The good news from all of this is that whatever you might be going through today, and I know that there are people in this church, I talk to you, I hear about things and whatever else, whatever you might be going through today, whatever you may be feeling in your heart, no matter what hurt or disappointment you may be going through, Jesus understands. He knows our pain. He knows our failures. He knows our feelings of oftentimes wanting to give up. Psychologist Larry Crabb tells a story from his childhood about the day that he went into the bathroom and he locked the door and then he couldn't get it unlocked again. Well, as a young boy, he panicked and he thought he was going to spend the rest of his life in the bathroom because he was going to be never able to get out. So he screamed as loudly as he could for his parents to hear. Well, his dad, in turn, ran down. He ran outside. He got the ladder, put the ladder up under the bathroom window. He climbed up there. He was able to wedge the window open. He climbed in, and he unlocked the door. Well, Larry Crabb, in reflecting on this event, explains that this is how a lot of Christian people think that life is supposed to work. When you get into a tight place, when you can't get out, when you feel as if you can't go on, you simply cry out to God and you say, God, get me out of here. And then God is supposed to just unlock the door and take everything away and everything's supposed to be okay. That's the simple answers we often give. Larry Crabb goes on to ask, if you even like God when he may not open the door the way that you want him to, when that marriage doesn't heal, when a rebellious child still rebels, when your finances still tank, when your health worsens, when your loneliness or depression grows even more intense. When God climbs into your dark room, when he climbs into your life, he doesn't just automatically unlock the door and open the door. Rather, he may sit with you for a while on the bathroom floor. He may ask you, come and sit with me for a while. He invites you to be still, to get to know him better, to discover his grace and his love, to admit your weakness, and to admit your need for God and your need for others. The key, of course, to a real, abundant, fulfilling and joy-filled life is to not simply have a quick fix to our problems, to not feel guilty when you feel overwhelmed or when someone says to you that God won't give you more than you can handle. Rather, the key is to admit your weakness, to admit that you need God's help, and to admit that you need the help of others, and to realize that it is in your weakness. It is only then that you can be really strong. So whatever you're facing today, and I know many of you are facing many issues, whatever fears you may have, remember that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he is there to walk with you, to walk with you no matter what may come. Please join me in prayer. Loving God, we know that life is tough. We know that there are people here today that are facing some real hard times. We know there are people around us, people that have gone through tragedies in different parts of our country, people that are dealing with tragedies of unbelievable magnitudes. Lord, help us to realize that sometimes we just feel like we're at the end of our rope, but that you are there to walk with us. And that it's okay to be weak, it's okay to not have answers, it's okay to struggle. For when we ask you for help, when we ask others for help, when we find that support of your people, it is only then that we can find strength to face each day as it comes. Lord, be with each one whatever their needs are today. And let all God's people say, Amen. Let us stand. Let us affirm together our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, as we share together our prayers of the church, I will end each petition by saying, Lord, in your mercy, and if you would respond, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, there are many people today who feel as if they are in a foxhole with chaos all around, feeling as if they can hardly go on. Loving God, we thank you for your promises that you are with us always in the ups and downs of life. Empower those who feel as if they cannot go on to know that you and the body of Christ, your church, are there to walk with and give them strength. Help them know that they are not alone. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Loving Jesus, too often people listen to those lies and those false truths that there is something wrong with being weak, that you don't show that you're tough if you ask for help, that to handle your problems you need to simply buck it up on the outside. Loving Jesus, as the Apostle Paul taught us, help us to remember that it's only when we admit that we are weak, only when we ask for help, only when we admit as if we feel we can't go on, that we can be truly strong in your love, in your care, and in your protection. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Loving God, on this Thanksgiving week, as we pause as a nation to focus on all of our blessings, fill each one of us with a deep awe and gratitude for your abundant gifts to us as a people and as a nation. Loving God, may our thanksgiving not simply be words or phrases, but be lived out in a life of thanksgiving where we share our blessings of love and generosity with the poor and hurting, the rejected, the discriminated against. Fill us with a thankful and loving heart in everything that we do. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Jesus, during this Thanksgiving week, there are countless numbers of people who will be traveling by car and by airplane. Loving Jesus, we pray for your safety and responsible travel for each one. And bless each gathering with love, understanding, and peace. We also pray, loving Jesus, for all the people devastated by the awful fires in California, as well as the tragic storms that have encompassed so many in our nation and world this past year. Surround each one with your love, your comfort, your hope, and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, empower us at Calvary to not be a church who turns in on itself or becomes a club only for the insiders. Rather, Holy Spirit, empower us at Calvary to be a church that focuses outside ourselves and our own personal wants, that seeks to take away the barriers that easily keep people out, so that each person knows that they are truly welcome, that we care more than just with words, and that there is truly a place for them. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated as we hear the bel canto. We will also be sharing in our offering. And again, we just thank each and every one of us, each and every person for your generosity as we support the mission of this church. Let us stand. We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up our hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Then again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it, for the remembrance of me." Let us all join in praying together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Let us stand. The body and blood of our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace and preserve you until life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. And now as you go on your way into this Thanksgiving week, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to fill you with his love and his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.